This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour supersonic soul train line. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Phoenix to Fresno, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Thanks so much for joining us. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We appreciate you dropping on by, and a big show coming up for you this morning here on the program. How about Dolphins special teams ace and wide receiver Mac Hollins here on the show? Mac is part of a team that has won a couple of games in a row, that exploded offensively in San Francisco against the Niners, and then over the weekend shut out the New York Jets, cruising to victory. The Dolphins are feeling good and doing well, and we'll talk to their wide receiver, Mac Hollins, coming up here on the show in just a few hours from now. He'll join us in hour number 3, and there are plenty of Eagles fans wondering and scratching their heads, why did we let this guy go? The Eagles wide receiving core has been beset by injuries and lack of production. He was a member of the Eagles, and many Eagles fans are wondering exactly, couldn't we have used this guy? Mac Hollins is going to join us from the Dolphins coming up here on the show in the 8 o'clock Eastern hour. Meantime, last night, not one but 2 Monday night football games. So later on in the morning, how the Cardinals smashed the Cowboys on the road, and what a post-Dak Dallas team looks like. Hint, not good. Joe Buck has perhaps the greatest play-by-play week ever lined up this week. We'll discuss. All of the talent, 5 stars in the SEC, they're gobbling it up. We'll discuss. Also, do you think your parents or your grandparents know what Twix is? One legendary sports writer did not or does not, and that has us thinking. And we'll discuss Derrick Henry's race to the record books this weekend. What an absolute monster he is right now for the undefeated Titans. All coming up this morning on the show, and oh, by the way, it's a Trash Tuesday. So let us know what's bugging you. Who is it that's on the wrong side of your ledger? We'll do our trashes coming up in 40 minutes from now. Again, our trash is in 40 minutes. Your trash is all morning long on both Twitter and on the phones. On Twitter, it's super simple to send me your trashes at DA on CBS. Again, on Twitter, it's at DA on CBS. If you follow me, just send me your trashes. Also, if you want to hit me up on the phones, it's a toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. Again, 855-212-4227. We begin with the early Monday nighter last night. This was a nice little gift, huh? It was last week's Thursday night game, but because of COVID-related delays, they pushed this game, or they did push this game, to last night. They did not want to interfere with the late game, the regularly scheduled Monday night game, so they positioned this one at 5 p.m. Eastern time. So you might be just have come back from work. Maybe you were wrapping up work and you flip on a TV. Maybe you're still at work and go, wait a second, there's a Monday night football game on? Indeed, it was the Kansas City Chiefs coming off that loss against the Raiders, their first loss since last season, midway last season. It was their first loss in 11 months in a crazy twist, versus the Buffalo Bills, who also were coming off their first loss of the season as well, in that loss against the Tennessee Titans, and a rainy, windswept Buffalo. And last night, we saw the Kansas City Chiefs win a football game and not really have many dynamic plays. It wasn't an afternoon where Patrick Mahomes made your head spin. It wasn't a day where Andy Reid was calling a whole bunch of creative, quirky plays. Instead, it was a smash-mouth, back-to-business type of victory for the Chiefs. It was all on the ground, a dominant effort by Kansas City. And when you look back and look inside the stats, man, the Chiefs did whatever they wanted running the football against that Bills defense. Kansas City got the W. The Bills get the loss. And the question is, what the hell has happened to Buffalo's defense? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
Touchdown taken off the board. Now can Mahomes get it back? Corner pattern near side. Kelsey reaches up and makes the grab. Touchdown, Kansas City. Mark Holmes to Kelsey for the second time. And sweet nectar taste by the Chiefs on a 16-yard pass, overcoming the holding penalty.
We've got to really look at our football team and say, and be truthful with ourselves and say, what do we have to get corrected and have those conversations? And then, you know, if we do that, our team will move forward as we continue to grow through the season.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
So that was the great Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio with the call as the Chiefs finished off that drive throwing the football, but were dominant on the drive and all night long running the football, setting them up into those situations. And that was Sean McDermott after the game. It was a brutal effort by the Bills defense. How many times do we see the Chiefs ground game outgain Mahomes? But last night, while Mahomes threw for 225 yards, the Chiefs ran for 245. And guys, this is before they get Le'Veon Bell. Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran for 161 yards. Darrell Williams ran for another 26. Patrick Mahomes scrambled 10 times for 36 yards. And by and large, when the Chiefs wanted to run the football, grind clock, and they wanted to hold on to possession on a windy, rainy night where passing the football wasn't easy, they were able to do it at will. At will. And this is a real concern because the Bills had gotten here on the back of their defense. Over the last couple of seasons, it was all about that Bills defense picking up the offense. It was all about the defense making big game-changing plays. It was all about the defense making sure that the Bills' offense and quarterback didn't have to do too much. And this year, it's exactly the opposite. And that's got to be worrisome. That's got to be discouraging. That's got to be one of the worst signs for the Bills is that, yes, Josh Allen has come forward and grown up quite a bit this year. And yes, it's an attack, it's an offense that you want to have gotten better over the last couple of seasons. And finally this year, you feel better about it. But it's also not a team that can just afford to not have a defense. If you look at the Bills in terms of total yards given up right now, Here are the teams worse than the Bills in terms of yards allowed. The Falcons, the Jaguars, the Vikings. You know what these teams have in common? They're awful. They're not going into the playoffs. They've got one win on the season. This is a Bills team that is just getting gouged every which way. And they're not a team that's getting right now to the passer. That's also a big-time worry. They're not sacking the quarterback. They're in the bottom third of the NFL in sacks this season. So what are they doing right? The fact is, not much. And last night, it was a real worry because the Chiefs didn't even need a dynamic night from Patrick Mahomes and the passing game to win and to win comfortably. The Bills just couldn't move the football. And Josh Allen, from his early season success, has definitely regressed the last 2 weeks. Last night, Josh Allen threw for 122 yards. 122! That's not going to get it done. And most of that came on that late drive where they got the touchdown, but clearly the Chiefs were in kind of a prevent defense, allowing the Bills to keep things within the middle of the field. I'll tell you, when the Bills had closed the gap to one score and they had to get off of the football field, not only did the Chiefs go down the field and get the points they needed to extend the lead to two scores and put the game out of reach, but Mahomes did it with such poise and such ease. They just were converting third downs. They were just converting on the ground. They were converting when they wanted to. There was wide open receivers. And the Chiefs, when you give Mahomes a chance at the end of the game to ice it, he's almost always going to do it. He is surgical back there when he's got one drive to ice it, and did it last night. The Bills can't get to where they want to go if the defense looks like that. And I'd say, hey, against the Chiefs, things like this happen. But no, this has been the Bills over the course of the first 6 weeks of the season. Buffalo is 4-2. That's the good news. And Buffalo still in first place atop the division. That's the good news. The bad news is they're going to have to play a lot better than they did last night and the last two nights for them to do anything in January. Because the last two games they've played, Tennessee and Kansas City, they played the big boys on their schedule, and they've lost both those games. And they've looked like the B team in both. Here's your phone number at a Trash Tuesday, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Mraz, what's the bigger concern after the last 2 weeks, two losses by Buffalo? Is it that Josh Allen has regressed, or that the Bills' defense simply cannot stop good offenses?
It's the defense, because you expect Josh Allen to be a roller coaster, and the defense last night, if you can't slow the Chiefs' offense, where Patrick Mahomes is already being slowed by a driving rainstorm, and you're at home if you're Buffalo, and you cannot stop the ground game, that's a major problem. And to me, the score doesn't even dictate it. Let's not forget, Travis Kelce to close that first half has that fumble, or the Chiefs are likely going in for at least three, and Patrick Mahomes basically slips and doesn't hit Travis Kelce in stride where he would have been running free wide open for a touchdown in that third quarter. That's another 10 points on the board missed by the Chiefs that the Bills had really nothing to do with. And if you can't have those things happen to you and not take advantage in a driving rainstorm and your defense is going to get gashed, how can I have absolutely any confidence in you? Luckily for Buffalo, like when you take NyQuil when you have a cold, they got the Jets coming up this week, so plenty of time to try to fix that defense and get right.
The Bills are giving up as many yards per down as the Cowboys are. And the Cowboys have a historically awful defense. I expect the Bills just to be better than this. And I don't know if this is a talent thing where they've had some bodies injured or left, or this is a scheme thing. But last night, the Chiefs are lining up and they're dictating what they're going to do. We're going to run the football. We don't want to pass on a night like tonight. We want to run the football. And this is, again, pre-Le'Veon Bell. He's not even eligible right now, or wasn't last night because of the COVID restrictions. He'll be eligible for their next game. They're lining up and telling you, we're going to run the football here, and the Bills can't do anything about it. Now, the Chiefs are an excellent team, obviously, and they're a Super Bowl champion for a reason. But, Mraz, it wasn't like they were doing anything creative on the ground. They were lining up and just beating the Bills. They were lining up man on man and just beating them, whipping them every single play. And that, to me, is really alarming.
And as Aikman pointed out, too, in that second half, how many offensive line changes due to injury did Kansas City have to handle in this game? Mike Remmers is kicking out to right tackle. They have a brand new center. Osemele now has been lost with two torn tendons. And basically, the Chiefs' offensive line, which is such patchwork, went out there and did anything they wanted to do versus the Bills' defensive front. And if it's not for guys like Jordan Poyer coming up and making plays, you know, at the line of scrimmage from the secondary, the Bills up front got totally punished by essentially a backup offensive line with the Chiefs. That's unacceptable if you think you're a top-tier defense and you're a defensive-first team.
The Bills last night, it's very alarming because in that division, the Patriots are a weird team. We don't know exactly what they're going to be over the course of this season, but I have to imagine both of those games are not easy games for the Bills. They've still got the two against the Pats. The Dolphins are frisky. The Dolphins right now are frisky. And yesterday you were saying, hey, don't look now, but the Dolphins are an exciting team in that division. I'd still pick the Bills over the course of the long haul, 16 weeks. I think they're better talent-wise. They've also got more experience. But if you're asking me if the Bills can hold on to this division, if Josh Allen looks like that last night and the defense looks like that, that's a terrible combination for them. One or the two has to pick up the other. And last night, Allen was terrible, and the defense was terrible. And the Bills, against an offense in Miami right now that's clicking pretty good, that's actually going to be two really interesting games this year for Buffalo.
It really will. And it raises the question, maybe Tua doesn't see the field as a starter this year. Fitzpatrick has him basically in a hunt for the division in December. Be crazy. The Miami Dolphins, you got to keep your eye on. I think they have the third best point differential in the NFL right now as well.
Yeah, and that Dolphins team is suddenly trying to figure it out. I mean, I think coming into the season, there was some holdover from last year, and there was some kind of good vibes from last season, but I'm not sure they necessarily believed it was their moment yet. I don't know how they couldn't right now after the last 2 weeks. Again, those aren't great teams they've beaten, the Niners and the Jets, but it goes to show you that they can outclass you. There are teams that they're just flat out better than right now. As you said, this Bills team gets a feel good against the Jets coming up on Sunday, which they desperately need. But then after that, they have three difficult challenges. Patriots, Seahawks, Cardinals. It's going to tell us a lot about this Bills team. They'll obviously beat the Jets handily, so they'll be 5-2. But are they 5-5 after that next 3 weeks and that brings them into the bye? Do they win two of those three? Do they win one of those three? Do they win none of those three? It's Pats in Buffalo, the Seahawks in Buffalo, so that's huge, and then at Arizona. Three huge weeks after that Jets game coming up on Sunday. When we come back here on the show, it's your best audio of the day in Soundcheck. It's a fun morning. It is a Target demo. I'm sorry. It is a Trash Tuesday. So let us know what's bugging you. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. Last night, if you're a Bills fan or a Cowboys fan, woof, you've got plenty of stuff to take out the trash on. So tweet at me, DA on CBS. And also on the phones, 855-212-4227. When we come back, within Soundcheck, Tua goes third person, and a CBS Sports Radio listener has no idea what they're talking about. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And a reminder that the DA show is available on your smart speaker. Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio, and every single morning, wake up with us. Get your day started with us. Get ready for your day with us. Wherever you are in the house, just tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. We begin with Tua Tagovailoa, who did get in his first NFL action on Sunday as the Dolphins won a laugher over the Jets. And Tua already prepared for his NFL career, going third person like a veteran.
Biggest thing that really stands out to me is just being able to make my parents proud. You know, so whether that's Tua as a football player, Tua as a person, Tua as a son, I think that's what brings me the most joy, is seeing how happy my parents get and then seeing how happy my family gets as well with, you know, who I am and then also what I do.
Okay. This is awesome. The scene after that game was a poignant one as Tua was sitting on the field soaking it all in. And I'm sure emotionally, he didn't know what that would feel like when he injured his hip. He didn't know what that would feel like going back to the draft. There were so many concerns and so many doubts, and I still have them for Tua Tagovailoa, but I root for him because he's a very, very mature young man. He's been a great teammate. He helped Alabama to crazy heights, and I think that Miami's betting on the person of Tua, not just the football player. He's a great person. So for all of those reasons, seeing him sitting on the field when nobody was around on Sunday definitely clutches at your heart. That's a young man that deserves the success that he's earned. But boy, we're already doing the third person thing. Mraz, how about you redo Tua? I want to play this one more time. Pete, can we re-rack this? Let's play this one more time. And then, Mraz, I want you to do the same exact thing as though you were talking about Bob's Bar and about your broadcasting career. But instead of saying me, you have to say all these things as Mraz, okay? Let's just hear Tua one more time here.
Biggest thing that really stands out to me is just being able to make my parents proud. You know, so whether that's Tua as a football player, Tua as a person, Tua as a son, I think that's what brings me the most joy, is seeing how happy my parents get and then seeing how happy my family gets as well with, you know, who I am and then also what I do.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay, so just imagine Mraz outside of Bob's Bar. There's a crowded media session around him. People are sticking microphones in his face, and they say, Mraz, could you answer the question? How do you feel in terms of representing your family?
You know, the biggest thing for me is just making my parents proud, whether that's Mraz is a drinker, whether that's Mraz is being butt naked in Central Park, whether that's Mraz is a drink poor, whether that's Mraz for making a football food of the week. You know, just to stand there and look at the face and know that, hey, Mraz made them feel like that. That's how I feel.
I mean, Tua already clicking into third person. He got in like seven snaps. He was in like seven snaps and he's already doing Tua as a son, Tua as a player. Whoa, wow. All right, he's got it down, huh?
Nice handoffs, Tua.
Here's Ryan Tannehill, who joined the Jim Rome Show right here on CBS Sports Radio, on his opportunity in the offseason re-signing with the Titans.
I wasn't in a position that I wanted to be in. I still felt I had a lot in the tank, a lot more to give. But being a backup was a position I was in at the time. So I tried to do everything I could to continue to improve, get better, and be the best backup I could, and just kind of bide my time. I didn't know if it was going to happen. I didn't know if I was going to get an opportunity for whatever reason, either here or somewhere else. But I knew if I did, I wanted to do everything I could to take advantage of it and not look back.
It's been a great sports story, certainly a great football story. Ryan Tannehill, who had brief moments of success in Miami, ends up landing in Tennessee to back up Marcus Mariota. And Mariota's the incumbent. Mariota's the first-round draft pick. Mariota's the franchise guy. But Mariota's never quite getting that team over the hump. Mariota can't quite elevate his game to that next level. And ultimately, that team needed a guy like Ryan Tannehill to take care of the football, to make some big throws when needed, but just overall provide some consistency and one or two big plays a game, big throws a game. But that's exactly what Tannehill did. Tannehill's numbers will never jump out and shock you. But because of how well they're coached, because of how smash mouth their defense is, because of how great Derrick Henry is, which we will get to coming up here later on in the show, Ryan Tannehill's the perfect solution for that offense. In the offseason, many people said, well, do you want to give Tannehill all of the money because don't you want him to have to prove it again? And the Titans said, we don't need him to prove it again. We know what we have in him, and we want to give him the big money deal, and they did, and it looks very smart. Tennessee is one of the rare undefeated teams still in the NFL, and look every bit as good as they did last year. They were not a fluke. And finally, here is caller Tommy in Pennsylvania. He calls in to Amy's show, After Hours, with Amy Lawrence here, that precedes us on CBS Sports Radio every single morning. And he's a Packers fan. But as a Packers fan, how much does he really know about his favorite team? Let's play the clip.
Tommy is in Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. How's it going?
Good.
Who do they play next?
Aren't you the Packers fan, man?
What's that?
Aren't you the Packers fan?
Yeah, but I didn't get to watch the game today. I couldn't get it. I had to listen to it.
No problem.
So I just thought that maybe you would know that do they play next?
Yes, they're on the road at Houston coming up in their next game. And then they are home to the Vikings, and then they go on the road to the Niners on a short work week.
Okay.
All right.
They're at home at Lambeau for the Niners.
No, they're on the road at Levi Stadium for that game.
Which one are they at home with?
Vikings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they played them, I think, once already.
Yeah, they started out the season with them.
So they'll meet the Buccaneers again.
Not this season.
No?
Maybe in the playoffs, but not this season, no.
Okay.
Not regular season, I should say.
Callers! Cue to our bosses. We want more calls. God bless you. God bless you guys. God bless our listeners. I love the D-Aliens. The callers have been a huge part of our show's success, and I never take that for granted. But you guys have no idea how often bad calls just totally nuke a show. I mean, when you live in sports radio and you breathe sports radio and you host sports radio or work within sports radio, you are inundated by bad sports calls that just nuke an entire show. And Amy's, you know, she's got great energy every single morning and she does her thing and they've got a plan of what they want to do. And then there's just that, which is a total turd and punch bowl moment, you know? You're like,
what
okay.
Are they at home with?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, we're definitely talking to a hardcore Packers fan here and we want to get your thoughts on an embarrassing effort against the Buccaneers. You're expecting, okay, this guy's going to have some passion, he's going to have some energy, he's going to be really bent out of shape about the Packers, you're going to get a really good take here, and then you get a guy that says, well, who do they play next?
Who do they play next?
That's your take, man? You called in for that? Look, for as long as you are on hold to get on the radio, in a fraction of the time, you could have simply Googled Green Bay Packers schedule, and it would have been way easier than getting on the radio and asking the host
who they play next,
what the schedule was coming up. And that's your sound check. To really delve into when sports callers go wrong, Mraz has worked behind the scenes for years in sports radio, and we here on the DA show, we sprinkle in the calls because we feel like we've got a good radio show and a good vibe going, and we have a direction where we want to go, and oftentimes callers can derail you if you're not really, really disciplined in when you take them and what type of calls you're taking and how much you screen them. But on the local side, local is floated by the callers. And so Mraz was behind the scenes answering phones for the midday show on WFAN in New York for years and overnights before his days here on CBS Sports Radio. Mraz, how often did you pick up the phone and a guy not even get on the air because the call you knew as you screened him was immediately a disaster like Tommy in Pennsylvania.
Now, look, at the early stages, I would put anybody through. I'd be like a bad left tackle. Come on through and sack us.
Oh, but nice. You were Eric Flowers of ball screening.
But you learn after a while, like what you're pointing out, no, this is terrible. This can't happen on a show. And what you really learn is the worst of the worst callers that you know are going to bring nothing to the table. When you are honest with them and think you're doing a favor, hey, man, sorry, can't put you through. It doesn't fit the show. The anger that comes through with these people, like getting yelled, all of a sudden now they want to spice it up and have a hot take when they're saying this, that, and that about me and my family because I won't let them on and demanding they talk to a boy. Like the anger that bad sports radio callers have when they don't get through on the air, they're like somebody when they ask for like a cop's badge's number. Like they want to demand, why can't I be on? And it, you know, I feel like saying, you know, 10 minutes ago, if you had this passion, maybe you'd be on. They are so awful, so bad. And, D.A., I often get the question, because I was producing at WFAN for a while, you know, same time as I was doing this. Oh, you're only doing the D.A. show now. Don't you miss the WFAN? Don't you miss the local stuff? You know, that's where you grew up, wouldn't you rather that? And I always say to them, I got to be honest with you, the callers are way better nationally. The structure's way better nationally. You get driven insane by some of these people locally. It drives you nuts.
So if you pick up the phone, you can tell it's a Tommy in Pennsylvania situation. And you go, hey, we don't have time for you, or no, we're not going to take your phone call. Do you do it politely, or do you like, no, you stink?
It really depends on the attitude. Usually I say I try to lie to them at first. Hey, running out of time, I'm trying to switch the topic. Then if they sniff right through that, oh, that's ridiculous. Who do you know? This is for the listeners. Then I get angry and I get nasty real quick. My patience wears thin. I don't like confrontation, but because I can be a tough guy over the phone, I'll confront.
So this show, we've been very lucky, and the reason that our callers are routinely very, very good is that our callers understand the temperament of the show. If you listen to the show, you get the show. If you listen to the show, you understand. You're hearing things, and you're like, oh, I've got a funny anecdote here. I've got a good story here, or I'm asking this question here, or I've got this take. You kind of get it. I think in local, kind of like what you're saying, when you let everybody in, everybody thinks they belong, and everybody just does whatever they want, and it's like herding cats, because when you just take like 30 phone calls in a show, everybody is just going to try to pour through. Like, you see that left tackle getting abused, everybody wants a blitz from the right side. Now it's like, I want mine right now, because everybody's eating today.
Here's my fake trade proposal that has nothing to do with what we're talking about now. Again, you know, not everything on our show is perfect. Ridgely, Angels in the Outfield story. But other than that, we've mostly been good.
Wow. Low blow on Ridgely's Angels in the Outfield story. He was at the filming of Angels in the Outfield, if I may remind you.
He was. And Ridgely's great. And Ridgely was a great fill-in producer. That was the single worst call that we've had in the last 4 years on the show. And it ruined Mothership at the Movies that week. So not everything has been perfect here.
That
on
was
the show
an epic story.
I could just imagine Amy also, like, towards the end of her show. She's been up all night. It's a four-hour show. We're trying to land the plane, as we like to say here on the show. And then Tommy in Pennsylvania wants her to run down the Packers schedule. Oh, God. Tommy, can you just have done this on your own time?
Hey, Tommy is a fraud, by the way. You don't know that they're not playing the Bucks twice this year? I mean come
really,
on.
Really. The old NFC Central, he thinks they're still playing in.
Oh.
Andrew Bogish has our headlines. He's a kind sir. He's a smiley face this morning. I know he's having a good morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Our headlines are sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save.
I do sometimes use drugs to sleep.
I don't blame you. After Tommy in Pennsylvania, he needs drugs to sleep.
Does she get them from Tommy, though? That sounds like part of the problem. As disappointing as the Bills were last night, at least there was some drama in Buffalo. In the nightcap, the Cardinals went into Dallas, scored 21 unanswered points in the second quarter, and cruised to a 38-10 win over the Cowboys. Kyler Murray threw for two scores, ran for another, while improving to 7-0 at AT&T Stadium. His head coach, Cliff Kingsbury.
Kyler, you know, did a nice job. That's not easy when that's all everybody's been talking about all week. And he's probably had this one circled on his calendar since it came out.
As you might have heard last night, Murray is from Texas.
Last night, yeah, he was phenomenal. I mean, right from the opening jump, his throws were pinpoint. He was making quick reads. He had that one throw, which was basically a sidearm throw, which was very Mahomes-esque. Kyler was great last night.
He's 7-0 in that building, 5-0 in high school, which included three state titles. He won a Big 12 championship there, and then this one last night. He and the Cards pulled away in that second quarter thanks to back-to-back fumbles from Ezekiel Elliott. Four Dallas turnovers total, including leading to 24 Arizona points. This, of course, the Cowboys' first game since losing Dak Prescott.
The funny thing, too, is that Kyler's stats, you know, when I looked at him after the game last night, I thought that there were more big plays, or I thought at least he had more, his numbers would be bigger, but he threw for less than 200 yards last night, but the two touchdowns that he threw for were both really good throws, and he ran for another 74 yards and a touchdown. So all told, he combined for like, 250 or so in three touchdowns. He only completed 9 passes, but the 9 passes all felt like they were back-breaking passes that broke the Cowboys, and obviously the Cowboys were down 21 points early, and then it was kind of they coasted from there. But you look back, you're like, oh, I thought he would have had bigger numbers, but it just, he was so efficient in all the throws that he actually completed and the big runs that he had.
In Buffalo last night, the Chiefs fought off those Bills 26-17 on a chilly, rainy night. Somebody get Andy Reid a celebratory cheeseburger.
I thought the guys came in here, I guess, a heck of a Buffalo team. Weather conditions were a bit ugly, and they just bared down.
The Chiefs D held the Bills to just 206 yards, but this was a one-score game in the fourth until Patrick Mahomes converted 2 third downs, setting up a field goal. Daniel Sorensen then picked off Josh Allen with 80 seconds left, pushing KC to 4-2. The Chiefs running for 245 yards, including 161 from rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mm-hmm. The NFL has apparently finished investigating the Titans' COVID outbreak. Tennessee facing fines, nothing worse, like lost draft picks, and no individuals will be punished either. The Panthers worked remotely yesterday, will do so again today. Guard Michael Schofield went on their COVID list yesterday, but we don't know if he's actually tested positive. Carolina was already in the league's heightened protocols after playing the Falcons 2 weekends ago, after which one of their players tested positive. Game 1 of the World Series, a little less than 14 hours away. It's Clayton Kershaw and Tyler Glasnow on the mound in Arlington. That's World Series start number 5 for the Dodger lefty. His ERA in the Fall Classic is 5.40. College poop ball? Nebraska names Adrian Martinez its starting QB for Saturday's opener with Ohio State.
Oh, that's right. The Big Ten's playing football this weekend. Ohio State-Nebraska, the big one of the Fox Noon kickoff.
Yep, Martinez was in a battle with Luke McCaffrey after a shaky sophomore season. And MLS last night, the Philadelphia Union, a 2-1 win at New England. They're just 3 points now behind first-place Toronto FC. DA, back to you.
Excellente. Thank you, Mr. Bogues. When we come back, it's a Trash Tuesday. What are you trashing? Tweet at me, DA on CBS, and I'll read through your trashes. DA on CBS, or holler at me, 855-212-4CBS. We'll empty out our trash next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227 on this Trash Tuesday. It's sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
Well, my trash actually goes to those local sports radio callers. DA, there is something going on in New York that I can't take anymore. Somehow, 3 years into his career, Jets fans are still calling local New York radio, calling Sam Darnold Sam Darno. It is making me drive off a freaking road. It's not as if he's a left guard. It's not as if he's an inside linebacker that barely gets on the field. He's the stinking quarterback of an NFL team that was a coveted draft pick just 3 years ago from USC. He has an easy name too. It's not Scalacciocious at the end of it. It's Darnold. And because Mike Francesa once kept calling him Darno,
no,
the listeners believe
that's not
Mike
the reason.
Francesa.
No.
You think it's because of Travis Darno.
Yes, I think it's because of former Mets catcher Travis Darno. You have a lot of idiots that were trained to speak their fake French with Darnold's accented name, and now they think they're smarter than they are when they see Sam Darnold's name.
They may, but it was also what Mike Francesa kept calling him, and people love Mike Francesa in New York. It is now 3 years later. If you watch the Jets, nobody calls him Darnold. Why do you still have it in your head when you call up that he's Sam Darnold? It's Sam Darnold. He's a cornerback. Trash him.
Trash him.
Don't let a raccoon rip into that bag.
AB, why do you think that New Yorkers still call Sam Darnold the starting quarterback of the Jets in year three, Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I don't know that there's one right answer. I think this is a 33% split between just pure idiocy, the Darnold effect, and the Francesa effect. I think all of those are in play and maybe changed by the caller, but those are all to blame for this.
But if there's no Travis Darnold, nobody calls Sam Darnold Sam Darnold in New York because it doesn't look like it's French and there's no other Darnolds. This is a Travis Darnold problem. And so,
wait, but did Francesa call him Darnold because he was used to saying,
yes,
Darnold?
That's absolutely it. This is where New Yorkers got lulled into a fake sense of sophistication because of Travis Darnold. And so they think it's French.
I know a French guy.
And and Mike thought it was French. And then they had all just switched that one little lever in their brain from, oh, it's not spelled like it looks. Okay, because I was calling him Darnold. And that little lever switch, and now they can't switch it back for Sam Darnold. Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, DA, I am trashing the last 2 hours here of my work experience at CBS Sports Radio. Normally, we are blessed with superior equipment and technology, and it's all gone to the wayside in the last 2 hours. So we have been doing a lot of catch-up, but we get this show on the air just for you guys out there. So I am trashing the last 2 hours and our technology, at least at this moment.
Okay, we're trashing.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Okay, so Pete's telling you it's a charity case this morning for the listeners. We are only on the air because of the listeners, not because our paycheck demands it. Okay,
that is right.
Okay, AB, who are you trashing?
DA, I'm going to trash, I guess, technology as well. The keyboard on which I type my scripts every morning, I've done all of the different things I can think of to try and fix this. I have reinstalled, I've taken the batteries out, but it has this nice little knack of not even getting a physical stuck key, but I'll just hit the D button, and then I'll get 18 Ds in a row just for fun. So I'm constantly deleting and going back. I can't type well enough to begin with. I don't need the keyboard fighting me as well most mornings, so get it out of here.
Trash the keyboard.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
I've had my own bout as a fake sophisticated New Yorker this week. There was a couple of white, what appeared to be kind of paint splotches on the driveway. And the Bourbon Belle said, hey, did you see the white splotches of the driveway? I said, I didn't see them. So she pointed them out to me, and it looked almost like somebody had dropped just a little itty bitty piece of white paint or drips of white paint, like they were painting something. And we have like white fence. And she said, were you painting the fence? I said, no. So what do you think this is from? I go, I don't know. This is really weird. And it looked almost like some type of white splatter that had come from somewhere. And she said, well, what do you think this could be? I go, I don't know. So I got down on my hands and knees and I started scraping at it. And it was kind of powdery. And I said, was there anything that was powder that came out? And we thought, oh, maybe this was when Taylor was here. Maybe she had formula. There was like a white powdered formula perhaps that got splattered on the driveway. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just wash this off. So I'm down to my hands and knees. I'm scraping it. I'm smelling it. I didn't quite taste it, but it's up against my nose.
Don't make the mistake I would make.
And so I didn't taste it. I still don't know what it was, but I was walking down the driveway farther to bring down the trash the other day, and there was definitely bird poop that was splattered on the driveway that looked exactly like that. So I'm not sure if that was Taylor's formula or I was on my hands and knees scraping up powdered bird poop and putting it up to my nose like, oh, I think this could be Parmalat. Oh, I think this might be formula. I think this is baby formula. Yeah, I definitely. Instead, I'm probably just shoveling bird guano into my nose. So trash me.
Are those maggots?
When we come back here on the DA Show, Derrick Henry running into history.
T T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.